Engaging sermons on the most urgent problem of our day and what you can do about it.
Now, the End Abortion Podcast by Priests for Life.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory be to you, O Lord.
When the days were completed for their purification according to the law of Moses, the parents of Jesus took him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. Just as it is written in the law of the Lord, every male that opens the womb shall be consecrated to the Lord, and to offer the sacrifice of a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons, in accordance with the dictate in the law of the Lord. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. This man was righteous and devout, awaiting the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he should not see death before he had seen the Christ of the Lord. He came into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to perform the custom of the law in regard to him, he took him into his arms and blessed God, saying, Lord, now you let your servant go in peace. Your word has been fulfilled. My own eyes have seen the salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of every people, a light to reveal you to the nations, and the glory of your people Israel. The child's father and mother were amazed at what was said about him. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, Behold, this child is destined for the fall and rise of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be contradicted, and you yourself a sword will pierce, so that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Lord Jesus Christ.
We continue to celebrate the joy of Christmas. A feast that tells us not just that God has come to save us, but that we belong to Him. Just as Christ the Son belongs to the Father, so we too belong to Christ. And through His Spirit calling and uniting and purifying us, we are made sharers in the divine nature, just as Christmas has made God a sharer in our human nature. That's the exchange of gifts that forms the basis of our gift-giving in this season. We are consecrated to the Lord, all of us. The fact that we are His creation, made in His image, the fact that He and He alone owns us, further deepened by the fact that we're baptized into Christ, we're consecrated to God. The old law was a prophecy of this, of how deeply united all of us would be to God in ways that the people of old could not begin to imagine, that we would be sharers in His nature. Mary and Joseph followed the law diligently, went to the temple, and presented God to God, just as we do here in the Mass. We present the Lord, Jesus, to the Father, presenting the Lord to the Lord. Even the Lord fulfilled His own law. And of course, every male child was to be consecrated in this way, but in this case, the consecration was at its summit. All the other consecrations to the Lord of every child everywhere are summed up in who Jesus is, the perfect image of the Father, the exact representation of His being. In fact, as Jesus said, the Father and I are one. I always do what pleases Him. There's consecration. Belongs entirely to Him. So do we. And that's why we keep His commandments. Not because He is a taskmaster, not because He oppresses us, not because He's here to take away our freedom or to restrict us or to make us unhappy, but precisely because He's here to fulfill us in our consecration to Him, in our belonging to Him. We find the basis, the reason, and the ability to fulfill all his commandments. We don't lie. The one who lies is the one who says, oh, I'm a Christian, and then goes off and does something else. Or like the parable of the two sons, the one who says, yes, sir, I will carry out your will, and then goes and does his own will instead. The one who says, like some of our political figures say, oh, I'm a Catholic, oh, I take consolation in my rosary, and then they go along and promote the killing of babies or the marriage of a man and a man, contrary to God's law. Mr. Biden, I'm talking about you. We have all kinds of people in our political life that this reading in particular applies to. Whoever says, I know him, I'm a Catholic, I pray my rosary, I go to church, I receive communion. And God is saying, so what? Whoever says, I know him, but does not keep his commandments is a liar. It's not a political statement. That's a proclamation of the word of God. Whoever says, I know him, but does not keep his commandments is a liar. This is the way we know we are in union with him. Whoever claims to abide in him, you're going to make that claim, ought to walk as he walked. This is consecration to God. This is belonging to him. This is the meaning of Christmas, and this is what defines the life of the saint that the church honors today, an Archbishop Thomas Becket. Now, there was actually a proclamation issued yesterday by the President of the United States about this saint. And let me see for you here at the beginning, read for you how this starts. Today, that is the 29th of December, is the 850th anniversary of the martyrdom of St. Thomas Becket. On December 29th, 1170, Thomas Becket was a statesman, a scholar, a chancellor, a priest, an archbishop, and a lion of religious liberty, the president tells us. He goes on to say, before the Magna Carta was drafted, before the right to free exercise of religion was enshrined as America's first freedom in our glorious Constitution, Thomas gave his life so that, as he said, the church will attain liberty and peace. You see, Thomas Becket was in a situation where the King of England, at that time Henry II, was trying to control the church, trying to restrict the freedom of the church. Now, the church and the state have to coexist with a respect for one another's legitimate autonomy and also with a strong communication between the two, because the church is meant to be the voice of morality and conscience, and both church and state have obligations to the human person, starting with the right to life, extending to the right to religious freedom, and many other rights as well. So church and state are to work together. The state is never to consider itself exempt from the laws of God or of the laws of nature. And they are to respect one another's autonomy. Church doesn't deliver the mail. The church doesn't have a standing army. The church does not write laws or sign or veto legislation. Likewise, the state does not appoint bishops. The state does not impose or lift excommunications. The state does not appoint your pastor. The state does not decide what readings we read in the Mass. They have their legitimate autonomy. The church has its own law, canon law. The state obviously has its laws. And these lines were being crossed by King Henry, and Thomas Becket stood up and said, no, you don't cross these lines. People have a right to worship God as they see fit. The church has a right to worship and proclaim God as she sees fit and to conduct her affairs in accordance with God's law and with the laws of her own institution. President Trump goes on to write, the son of a London sheriff and once described as a low-born clerk by the king who had him killed, Thomas Becket rose to become the leader of the church in England. When the crown attempted to encroach upon the affairs of the house of God through the constitutions of Clarendon, Thomas refused to sign the offending document. When the furious king Henry II threatened to hold him in contempt of royal authority, and questioned why this, quote, poor and humble priest would dare defy him, Archbishop Becket responded, quote, God is the supreme ruler, above kings, and, quote, we ought to obey God rather than men. Of course, taking that directly from Scripture, from the Acts of the Apostles. I am moved at reading these words by the very president who rescued our ministry of Priests for Life and many other ministries from similar impositions by the previous Obama-Biden administration, by the Democrat Party, who tried to tell us what we could do and not do in our daily business practices, trying to tell us that in our health insurance we had to offer contraceptives and certain types of abortion to our employees. We refused to sign a document that would have, although it looked like it was exempting us, would have made us complicit in the provision of those evil things. We stood up. And brothers and sisters, again, we need to understand the facts of what happened. The Democrat Party was saying no, and they were trying to tell us what was and wasn't in accord with our faith. That's not the role of the state. The Republican Party said yes to our freedom, and President Trump exempted us from that mandate. And people wonder why. I and so many others will stand up in support proudly of this president. They wonder why. A religious person would be supporting him. They wonder how a priest could be speaking such political things. Well, wonder no more. Why does the church canonize someone like St. Thomas Becket? If we in the church are not supposed to stand up to political authority when it infringes on the rights of the church, answer me that question. Those who are critics out there of our right to speak up about these things. This is a beautiful document. We're putting it on our website and abortion.us. Let me read more from the president's statement. Thomas Becket's death serves as a powerful and timeless reminder to every American that our freedom from religious persecution is not a mere luxury or accident of history, but rather an essential element of our liberty. It is our priceless treasure and inheritance, and it was bought with the blood of martyrs. As Americans, we were first united by our belief that rebellion to tyrants is obedience to God, and that defending liberty is more important than life itself. Listen to these words of our president. If we are to continue to be the land of the free, no government official, no governor, no bureaucrat, no judge, and no legislator must be allowed to decree what is orthodox in matters of religion, or to require religious believers to violate their consciences. What a powerful statement that is. How right to the core of the church this statement goes. Every single religious leader needs to be proclaiming this. Meanwhile, this is a statement from our top civic leader in this country. Would that every president, every governor would repeat these words loud and clear. The governors, as they govern their states, so many of them have violated this, not only with mandates like the one I told you we were subject to, except with President Trump freed us from that, but also the governors who are exceeding their authority by closing and restricting the practices of churches, using as a reason the China virus. There's much more here in this statement that we don't have time to read the whole thing, but let me tell you, friends, that the proclamation and the defense of religious freedom, both domestically and internationally, has been a hallmark of the current administration and has to be a test, a standard placed before every candidate and every political party. Right now, the races that are going on in the state of Georgia, this question of religious freedom has to be presented to those candidates there Because remember, unfortunately, the Democrat candidates are standing on a platform of their party that calls what we describe as religious freedom, calls it discrimination. They think it's discrimination when a baker will refuse to bake a cake, a custom cake for a gay wedding, because he believes in the word of God that marriage is between a man and a woman, not a man and a man, or a woman and a woman. That's religious freedom. It's not discrimination. Or when we will refuse to offer health insurance for abortion, we're not discriminating against our employees who may have a different position. In fact, they don't, but we're not discriminating nevertheless. We're exercising our freedom of religion. Be careful when you vote, whether you're voting in Georgia for these Senate races or whether you're voting in any election in any state, be careful that you don't put into power those who would restrict our religious freedom. The church canonized Thomas Becket for a reason, because the church knows that the efforts of the state to limit religious freedom, to oppress the church, are unfortunately not limited to one country at one time in history, but will be a recurrent temptation throughout history. And therefore, the witness of people like Thomas Becket, the witness of people like President Donald Trump, needs to be strengthened in every place and all times as well. And we take that strength from the one who was consecrated to the Father because he for all eternity is one with the Father, the one who was presented in the table, on the temple, the one who said that we must keep his commandments, the one who was born at Christmas, the one who comes to save us, the one who is Messiah and Lord, the only one to whom we owe absolute obedience, whose name is Jesus Christ. Welcome to the newborn King, the King and ruler of all kings and rulers, the King of all nations. Come, let us adore him. Amen.
This has been the End Abortion Podcast. To learn more, to help end abortion, and to connect with us on social media, visit endabortion.net.